Hello, everybody. I'm Martin. Very, very grateful of Eritrea in Recovery. It's really a pleasure to speak today here in my family. And I'm going to start with a prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to bear with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy will of life, may I do thy will always. I have a very boring story, guys. I'm just an overeater, just like you. I was born in a family of addicts. Both my parents are overeater, and their story is that they were Jews during the war. They were hidden, and they knew what being hungry means. And so when they were adults and they had kids, food was a luxury. And being overweight was a good thing because especially my father had been very, very underweight. And I grew up with parents telling me, well, not telling me, teaching me that when you have an emotion, when I was sad, when I was angry, I would have a cookie. When I was happy, I would have a cookie. And when they wanted me to be quiet, they would give me a cookie. And I grew up learning how to not show my emotions and eat. And I kept on doing it for 52 years. I started to be overweight very early. And I remember that my whole family was overweight, and I was ashamed of me, of my family, of my mother, of the way we all looked. And we were called in the neighborhood, we were called the fat family. And I just didn't want to be part of the fat family. So I started to diet, of course. And I started the yo-yo, you know, the diet, the going back to eating, losing the weight, gaining the weight again. And I was so miserable, and I was so I was completely in the disease and in the obsession. And I remember that I would not be able to build my life and to do what I wanted to do as a young adult. And in my job as well, I would feel so bad in my body. I would have such a poor body image that when I began to perform on stage, because I'm a singer, I would feel more and more uncomfortable because I was on stage. And of course, when you're on stage and you're singing and you have musicians behind you, everybody's looking at you. And it was becoming more and more unbearable. I remember I had one phase, and in the program, I realized that I was completely restricting at the time. I thought I was dieting, and I was not dieting. I was completely in restriction. So I had lost a lot of weight, and I would feel more or less comfortable on stage. Then I began to gain on weight again, and my anxiety was so high and so strong that I had to stop performing on stage. Fortunately, I was very happy and I enjoy being a singing teacher, and that saved my professional life. But I really feel that I had a potential and to perform on stage and to do more concert that I just could not do it. It was impossible. And I didn't get it at the time. I would say, no, it's anxiety. I'm too nervous. And I was, but I was absolutely not nervous when I would record in a studio. So it was not that someone was listening to my singing. It was that someone was, well, like a lot of people were looking at me when I was on stage. And that was in my 20s. Then I, in my 30s and my 40s, I just continued eating all the time. I was a grazer. I would graze all the time. I never really binged. I would eat small amounts. I would have normal size meals, but I would graze all the time. And when it was not enough, I would eat during the night. When I wouldn't sleep well, I would get up and I would eat. And at some point, my sister had a gastric bypass and she lost a lot of weight. And I thought, ha, that's going to be the answer. So I contacted a surgeon. And, well, I was not supposed to have a gastric bypass because my weight was not enough. My BMI, you know, all that. But I ended up having the gastric bypass and I lost weight. Not everything I wanted to lose, but I lost weight, of course. But the illness, the obsession, the cravings were still there. So slowly I regained all the weight I had lost with the gastric bypass. And at that moment, at that time, I know that that was my bottom. I was completely desperate because my very last hope was gone. And I know that I heard about Overeaters Anonymous in French. I think it was in Quebec that I heard. I think it was in a movie or something. I don't have a precise memory, but I remember hearing about Outre-mangeur anonyme in French, compulsive overeaters. I Googled it and I found a website and I saw that, oh, there's a website in French. Ooh, there are meetings in Belgium. Wow, even in my own city. Ooh, okay. And there was a meeting and I thought, okay, I'm going to go to that meeting. And the closer I was to that day, the higher my anxiety was. And I just couldn't go. My anxiety was to the roof and I just couldn't go. But there was a contact. There was a person I could call. So I called that person. And I spoke to the most sweet, gentle, loving lady I ever met. And I had that, I'm looking for a word. I was telling her, yeah, I contact you because I do this and I diet and then I overeat and then I do this and this. And she would say, mm-hmm, me too, yes. And I felt more and more comfortable with her Thank you, Sarah G. I had identification. And I know that that's the thing that I needed, and that I felt that all my anxiety was gone. I was like, okay, for once, someone understands me, because I had seen psychologists, doctors, dietitian, nutritionist, and they would say, just follow the meal plan and eat less and do some sport. And nobody ever told me that it was a disease. In Belgium, when you're anorexic or bulimic, it is considered a mental health problem. It is considered a problem, and you're taken seriously. When you're an overeater, you're just considered as someone weak that should have more self-will and some more control and could do better. So I was on the phone with that woman, and she told me there's a meeting some days afterwards. I'll be there. Just join us. And I felt so comfortable with her that I didn't have any anxiety anymore. And I went to the meeting. And funnily enough, it was a meeting in English. And some of you already heard that, but the first time I said, hello, I'm Martin, I'm a compulsive overeater, I felt something in my chest. And I knew it was, yeah, that's it. And I had no problem just at my very first meeting saying, I'm Martin, I'm a compulsive overeater. I was so ready. I was so convinced that because I had that conversation with that woman before, who became my sponsor, of course, as in any beautiful story, at the time in Belgium. I shared, and I could only see people nodding, like I would put food in the trash and then I would go back and eat it. Mm-hmm. And then I would put in the trash again and put some dish soap on it, so I would be sure that I wouldn't go back to the trash and eat it. And I would see people like, mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who did that. I'm not crazy. What? It's a disease. So I can stop feeling guilty. I can stop feeling shame. It is not my fault. You're saying it's not my fault. It's a disease. I was so relieved. I know that some people think, oh, shit, it's a disease. I'm never going to get rid of it. No, I was so relieved that, okay, I did nothing wrong. I have a disease and nobody told me. So I started a program. I had a bad relapse during the lockdown because, of course, lockdown was tough on everybody. My sponsor at the time was not well. She stopped sponsoring me and I relapsed beautifully. The good thing is I discovered the meetings online, and I ended up finding this meeting, which is every day at 10 p.m. for me, which is exactly the time of day when I would graze and just feel miserable and just watch TV and eat. And I knew that the program was the solution. I knew that. But I didn't have the connection with the high power that I needed. I thought I had with my first sponsor, but I didn't. And I met in this meeting a wonderful woman, the an amazing woman. And I wanted her to be my sponsor, but I knew she was really busy, but I asked and she said yes. And I know that she's with God, the reason of my recovery. Because
more minutes, Martine.
Thank you, sweetie. I really, she really showed me what recovery is, how you can have a connection with your higher power. And I call my higher power the God of my ancestors. And I did the steps. And at the beginning, I would only do that. I remember I had one summer, I decided that I wanted to focus on the program and only the program. And for 2 months, I did just step work, reading, my food plan, studying, sleeping, next day, the same. And that's really saved my life. I have a program. I have a recovery I never dreamed of. And every day I realize that, how grateful I am to this program, to you guys, because without you, I wouldn't have the recovery I have. And I'm amazed how being a sponsor is now a big part of my recovery. I was so afraid of being a sponsor. I remember telling my sponsor, I don't want to be a sponsor, I'm afraid. And when she told me, now if someone asks you if you can sponsor, you can say yes. And I remember vividly, that was a Sunday. And I said, not ready. And the next day, a young woman asked me, would you be available to be a sponsor? And she was so cute and nice. And I said, I'd love to help you. So the very next day, I had a sponsee. And there I was, a sponsor. And I'm just going to finish by saying that most of you know that, but one of my goals now is to help making the program more well-known in my country, because the program is not well-known and the recovery is not really high, unfortunately. So we have a committee, you know, in Footsteps. It's called the Languages Committee, and we create meetings in all languages except English. And we created two in French, and those meetings are really amazing. And I am so happy to be part of that and to give back, like we say in the program, to give back what I was so freely given. But it is so wonderful to give back. It's not just, okay, it is step 12. I have to do it. No, it's incredible how good and how good I feel after talking to a sponsee or talking to someone on the phone who's not doing well, or having a committee meeting and knowing that we've done things.
One more minute, Martine.
Thank you, Alex. It's incredible. I never thought that I could feel that way, that I could feel useful, and especially to be me, to be exactly me, with my qualities and my defects of characters, which I'm working on, and to be loved with all of that. And that is really something that I love to say to my sponsees. I love you unconditionally, because that is really what I needed to hear and that I never had, because I need to do things to be appreciated. And in this program, we are loved unconditionally and we love each other unconditionally. And for me, that is the best gift ever. Yeah, it's okay. I'm just going to finish with the most important thing is that I know that God loves me unconditionally. Group and that he created me with my qualities and my defaults of characters. And thank God we have step 10 to do something when we have a defect of character going, ooh, I'm still there. Okay. I love you guys. Without you, I wouldn't have that recovery. And yeah, I really love you, all of you, unconditionally. Thank you.